Hey, this is Father Chris Ortega.
Hi, I'm Abby Byron-Goslin.
This is Casual Conversations with...
It's Catholic, y'all.
So today we're going to be talking about gifts. True gifts, false gifts.
And gifts of the flesh.
So real quick. So like right before we started recording, like it was just like, oh my gosh, like another podcast. So we're recording podcasts and like there are several of them we do kind of in a row. And we kind of roll them out that way.
So just so you know, I don't wear the same clothes every day. I feel like it's important to say that for any of you that watch the video clips.
And for me, well, I'm always in clerics, so.
So he doesn't have to worry about that.
I kind of look normal. Yeah, but like, so it was just like this tiredness, like, okay, one more, little marathon. And just put on a song by Bethel, or at least Bethel was covered. I don't know if it's their song, Lion and the Lamb. Mm. It's so good. It's like very powerful. You kind of, I have in my mind every time I listen to it, I just start thinking about like all of our guardian angels and like thrones and principalities and just kind of how they're just like so intensely worshiping God and just the intensity of it all. And I don't know. It's just to be able just to be rejuvenated. And it kind of comes back to like some of our podcasts where we mentioned about like when you're in that moment of desolation, you know, kind of recalling and entering into like those moments of consolation that you remember that you've kind of stored up as that well because you've been in the desert and or like, you know, playing a song, playing, you know, coming back to something that calls you back to God.
Right.
And so that was kind of a little moment right now. I was just like, yes, like just being rejuvenated and be like, God is powerful. Like he's a lion. Like he's constantly roaring with his power and fighting our battles. Mm-hmm. And it's almost, I don't know, like it's the truth, it's the reality, it's the actual vision, the beatific vision that like we're trying to live out and to, I don't know, embrace in our everyday moments, in our everyday life, which is completely different from like a secular, I guess it's like a secular understanding where they're always saying like, oh, visualize, you know, visualize the end, visualize the good, like, oh, you want to be, you want to do well in life, like you visualize yourself in a mansion with money and like eventually you'll get it, you know. And so, but like I'm saying, like, no, like it's not about visualizing it, like it's seeing the reality that is there, like of his victory over death and sin,
right?
Over all that is evil, and like living that out, living and letting his life, his power have dominion, authority in our own lives now.
And it's realizing that like that whole visualize scenario, it's actually a distortion, right? It's a distortion and perversion of the truth, because like we are supposed to have our eye on heaven, right, and on heavenly things.
Yeah.
You know, but what is happening there is it's like it's taking that concept of like looking towards heaven and looking towards the beatific vision, and kind of twisting it into something that is very temporal.
Mm-hmm.
So and I think we see that with like the prosperity gospel too, where it's a distortion and a twist of an actual truth. But yeah, the whole visualization thing, I've definitely come up against that before. Like I've seen people who kind of, they just like can't wait for the next guru to come out and like tell them like how to solve all their problems in their life. And I guess I don't want to mention specific books, but like there's been a couple over the years that, you know, if you read the back of the book, it's like everything you've ever wanted to know and more to finding your true happiness. And
is this about Jesus?
Yeah, it's like, oh no, it's not. It's okay, yeah, your inner light. Okay, yep. And so it's really like going in the New Agey kind of direction. New Age is it's really not new. It's really just like old heresies that are kind of raising up again.
Yeah.
But it is something that is really kind of pervading in our culture in many different ways. And like superstition obviously kind of goes along with this too. I think it's important to just talk about the fact that anything that is false in nature is a twist and a distortion of truth. So things I'm thinking about right now. I was thinking about a trip that I took to New Orleans.
Nolens.
One of my favorite places on earth.
Oh, can I just say real quick before you go there? Like, go for it. I really like boudin.
Oh, my.
It's so delicious. I had boudin when I was in Alexandria. Yeah?
For those that don't know what that is, can you explain it?
Oh, I don't even know how to, like, if I could, like, it's a sausage, like, it's in a casing, but, like, you have to take it out of the casing, and it's, I don't even know how to explain it, because, like, to me, like, I would call it, like, albóndigas. Albóndigas is, like, a meatball like with, bologna? Like, rice. No! Albóndigas is, like, so it's, like, a, anyways, albóndigas is, like, a meatball. Basically, it's a meatball, like, a Mexican meatball thing, but, like, this was... To me, it was like that, but it was, like, sweeter. There was more flavor, and it wasn't, like, a meatball. Like, there was a softer consistency within, like, the sausage link. I don't know how else to explain it. It was just so delicious.
I love red beans and rice. It's really good. But everything there is, like, seasoned with Tony's, or there's another competing Tony's, seasoning, too. Yep. It's either Tony's or it's something else, but, yeah.
Okay, sorry. So your story.
Yeah, I was saying. I love the Cajun flavor, though. It's so great. Yeah, so if you've never been to New Orleans before, like, it's literally, like, kind of Catholic Disney World. That's the best way I can put it. Like, and I say that because for those who didn't grow up in a place where Catholicism was a part of the culture, it really is kind of integrated into every aspect of their lives. I mean, their street names are even named after saints, you know, like, there's a, in their counties, I could be wrong in this, but it's like their counties are parishes. It's actually called parishes. So there's a lot of, like, references to the influence of the Catholic Church. Now, obviously, just like everything else in the U.S., there's been a decline in recent years, and Louisiana Catholics would probably speak to that as well. But for somebody who has come from a population or a area of the country where the Catholics are the minority, to go somewhere where they're the majority is just kind of awesome and, like, staggering at the same time. So in one of my trips there, I was going to visit their cathedral, which is it's really beautiful, and it's right in the middle of downtown New Orleans. And as I was walking into the cathedral, actually, I didn't see it till I was walking out. So I go to the cathedral, I'm, like, in awe of all this beauty and, like, just really entering into prayer and just giving thanks for the beautiful churches that are all over that state. And as it becomes time to leave, like, I go to leave, and as I walk out, I realize that across the street, like, camped out in front of the cathedral, is just this line of, like, magicians and tarot card readers and gypsies and, like, what's the other? Fortune tellers and, like, just all of these, like, dark arts, like, literally just camped out right across the street from the cathedral.
Wow, I'm just getting, like, really, like, heavy sense just hearing that.
Yeah, it's sad. And the second you walk out the door, like, they are trying to get you to, like, come to them. Obviously, they're trying to make money off of the people that are coming there. But how sad is it that, like, your true answers are going to come from the Lord and the tabernacle that's right there inside of the cathedral. And all of these kind of false prophets, so to speak, are literally sitting right outside of the temple, like, waiting to lead you astray.
Wow.
It was a really powerful example. And you see that in the city of New Orleans. Like, it's very much a heart city in that, like, everything is just, like, out in the open, like, for better or worse. Like, you see the goodness and the beauty, but you also see, like, the brokenness and the despair and the death and the darkness. And so you see this kind of, like, dualities that are kind of at opposition. Uh-huh. And for there, it was a lot more obvious, whereas I would say in our day-to-day lives, it might not be quite so obvious, like, what is of darkness and what is of light, what is true and what is false. But one of the other things that I love about New Orleans is that so many of the Catholics that are alive and engaged and on fire with their faith, one of the reasons they're on fire is because they are living out the fullness of their calling in their gifts, the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given them. And they're bold. Like, if they've been given a gift of prophecy, like, they're stepping out in faith and they're allowing the Lord to use that gift every single day. They've been given a gift of healing, like, they're stepping out in faith and they're praying for healing and freedom in people's lives every single day. And even the ones that haven't necessarily been given those extraordinary types of gifts, like they, well, first off, they wouldn't see them as extraordinary. Like they would see them as ordinary, which is kind of cool.
Gift of prophecy, gift of healing, ordinary.
Yeah, ordinary. No, just like, I mean, yeah. Everyday, everyday thing, you know. But that's what happens when spirituality hasn't been divorced from your life. You know, it's been integrated into it.
Yeah.
Now, they would also speak to the fact that they can go in the direction of spiritism, which is not spirituality. It would be kind of the false version of spirituality, and one has to be careful with that. So they're in this place of kind of...
Can I just stop you real quick?
Yeah.
Spiritism? What? Spiritism?
Yeah, so like the occult, like voodoo, like magic, all that kind of stuff. Voodoo is a big thing there in that area as well.
So the gifts being like...
Or like superstitions... Even things like horoscopes, those are kind of a minor version of it. But
So ultimately, like what you're saying, so these gifts of the Lord may actually be there, but when you're just so focused on the actual gift itself, like it can be manipulated into this area, this darker area of...
Yeah, okay. So the realization that like for every good, true gift that's given, there are basically three options for that gift, okay? So you can have a true gift, you can have a gift of the flesh, and you can have a false gift. Mm-hmm. And so, like, in the case of prophecy, for example, when prophecy is truly in its, like, most sincere form in that it's in line completely with the Holy Spirit and the Lord is the one that's using it, the gift of prophecy is something that can bring a lot of encouragement and life into people's lives. Like, you can speak a word of truth, and just by speaking it, it can help bring about freedom in that person's life, or it can help give them the direction and the encouragement that they need to keep going in whatever it is that they're doing, or it can help give them what they need to discern. So that's kind of prophecy in its truest form. The gift of the flesh version of prophecy would be where it's not been completely surrendered to the Lord, and in some ways the person themselves is still using that gift, like, for their own sake, maybe, not freely for the Lord. So, like, half of what they say might be right and in line with the Lord, but it's, like, colored or distorted by their own judgments or their own perceptions or their own interpretations of what they're hearing. And so it's more of a gift of the flesh. Now, God uses the gift of the flesh for, you know, for good, but it's not the greatest good, right? The greatest good is for something like that to be completely surrendered to him. And then there's the gift, the false gift. Mm-hmm. The false gift, and the example of prophecy for that would be like the fortune teller who has literally given that gift over to the darkness and is using that to exploit people, to kind of prey upon them, if you will, and on their insecurities. She or he is not using that gift for the sake of building up the kingdom of God. They're using that gift for the sake of building up the kingdom of darkness. And they might very well be speaking lies into that person's life, or misdirection to that person's life. Now, that being said, these people might actually think that what they're doing is good. They might actually think that they're doing a good service to the people that they're taking money from. But the reality is, if it is not rooted and grounded in God, first and foremost, if the source is not God, then it is either a gift of the flesh or a gift or false gift. If the source is something other than God, that is not what the Lord intended or the way he wanted it to be used. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And so, okay, so like practically speaking, so talking about the gift of prophecy, it sounds like it's, it sounds like the way it could, words of using it would be like words or advice or counsel, guidance.
Words of knowledge, yeah.
So, and it's more like that movement of this person needs to hear this or this would help benefit them in some way.
Yeah.
And I guess...
And sometimes that's coupled with a gift of exhortation in which when those gifts work together, it could be that whatever it is that you hear that that person might need to hear could also be something that kind of is edifying or exhorting in the sense that it calls them out of what they're in and into something that will lead them back to God.
So someone actually,
And it like someone could actually have this gift and not even realize it. Like they can actually realize they have a knack. Right. They have a knack for saying the right thing to someone.
Mm-hmm.
For they have a knack for saying what they needed to hear so that they can, move forward, deal with whatever needs to be.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so that's something to realize then about these gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
They can be in our everyday lives and we may not even be aware of it or be conscious of the fact of how they're being used by the Lord.
Right. And because there's been maybe very little, or maybe because there's been like a not as much catechesis or talking about the gifts.
Lack
of formation. That's the word. Because there's been lack of formation and understanding that, we now will just probably just term it of like, oh, she has a knack for saying this or he's pretty good at that.
Oh, she should be a counselor.
he's people really listen to him when he speaks in front of people. Like he should be a public speaker. It's like, mm-hmm. maybe there's a spiritual gift that he's actually embracing. He doesn't realize it, and he just this is just a skill that he has. Like, mm-hmm. well, it's a charism. Like, there's a gift that's there.
Definitely.
We were talking about false gifts.
Yeah, so one of the things I was seeing even in my own life growing up was that, if you haven't figured it out by now in the fact that we're doing a podcast, I like to talk. and I've always kind of liked to talk and share stories. But I have had a gift of words my whole life, right? Like, just basically came out of the womb talking. Not quite, but... always had a gift of words. In fact, my parents actually told me a story once, and I think we have a picture of it somewhere, of me lining up all my stuffed animals on our fireplace and basically speaking to them, like lecturing to them when I was like maybe 2 or 3.
St. Francis talking to the birds.
The animals. Yeah, there might be some of that too. At even a young age, there was some indication. I mean, like... what average 2-year-old like does that? Like, not necessarily, it's not normal child play necessarily to like be doing that. And so my parents later on, when I would start speaking and traveling to speak, my parents showed me that picture and they said, "You've actually been doing this since you were like 3, you know, like,
oh, wow.
And so it was really kind of neat to see that we receive our gifts at baptism. So when we are baptized and we become God's children, part of that process is that we also then, in becoming God's children, we're adopted into the family of God. And as a part of that adoption, we then have access to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven.
Amen.
And what does that mean? Okay, so the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. That means that you and I have access to every single spiritual gift that ever has existed or ever will exist. What? Hold up. Yes. Now, will you and I experience all of them? Probably not. And why is that? It's because that God gives us gifts not for our own sake, but for the building up of the kingdom and the body of Christ. And so we do have access to every single spiritual gift that ever has or ever will exist, but we also have the ability to ask for those gifts, but God will give them to us only in so much as it will be used for his kingdom and for his greater glory.
Right.
So like I was saying, I have a gift of words, for better or for worse. And in that gift was not always for the glory of God. In fact, for most of my life, it was the opposite. So growing up, I would actually use that gift at times in the flesh, and eventually it would become a false gift. But initially it was just in the flesh, in that it was, I would use my gift of knowing what to say to people and how to say it. I would use that as a way of like gaining control of a situation gaining power. So like I was a perfectly like happy, nice child, so long as you didn't like tick me off, or like hurt me, or like cross me in some sort of a way. But the moment you did that, I was going to get back at you because I knew exactly what to say to you to hurt you the most.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I became hurt and that hurt like got deeper and deeper, that gift just became darker and darker, and to the point where it became a false gift, where I was tearing people down ripping people apart with my words at the drop of a hat. And so that gift was no longer being used for God. It was being used by the devil. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It was being used by evil, by darkness, to bring about woundedness and hurt in people's lives. And so not only did I allow that gift to become a false gift, I also became, in a sense, a false prophet, because instead of bringing healing into people's lives, I was now bringing woundedness, destruction, and pain and hurt. And so thankfully, God got a hold of me.
You know what? I was just thinking, like, parents mm-hmm. would probably really see that begin to happen in their children. Like,
oh yeah,
like I think
teenagers.
Like, I think as parents, like, you'll definitely be able to. I'm starting to think of a family experience. I'm not gonna say which family, but like where one of the children, like, you know, she was really great. You know, great family. And in retrospect, and thinking of the interaction of that family. There was definitely this gift of words that she had, because there'd be moments and all of a sudden, like, she had this ability to just tear people down.
Yeah.
And like, ugh. And granted, like, you know, she's had her struggles, family dynamics, you know, things get stressful. That's understandable. But like in retrospect, like to see, wow, like she would tear people down and she knew what to say and how to say it. And sometimes anybody else could have said it and it would have been water off the back. But when she said it, like,
there was
this power, this intensity, and like it went deep.
Yep.
And I, yep. Wow, like I definitely see that now. And so I guess, mm-hmm. Okay, Abby. So
okay.
What do you do in this situation? Right. Like, if you're a parent.
Out of the same mouth comes blessing and curses. So we have the choice of whether or not we're cursing people or blessing people. If it is in the parent scenario, my parents just started to share very candidly how it affected them and how it was hurting them. And so it helped me start to kind of look outside myself and realize the damage I was causing. Unfortunately for me, I won't say which family member it was, but one that kind of bore the brunt of my viciousness, for lack of a better word, I actually started to see how badly it was affecting them, in that they didn't have self-confidence anymore. They didn't really have self-worth. Like, there was just a lot of woundedness that was happening. And I was the source of that. Like, I was causing that. Now, the other part of this, too, is that, like, God in his great mercy, no matter how far we are from him, no matter how distorted we've chosen to allow the gifts to be, or how long or how much we've allowed gifts to be misused, either by ourselves or by darkness, the reality is that no one is beyond God's reach. Mm. No one is beyond God's forgiveness. No one is beyond freedom. And it was years later that I would start to realize the full ramifications of what I was doing. God had started first off by giving me a new heart, and in giving me a new heart, it was like that realization of, like, oh, I had a stony heart. That's why I couldn't feel these things anymore.
Yeah.
It's for that reason that, like, I am totally against sarcasm, totally against it. Like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's funny. Like, it's my way of having humor. Let me just say, like, I have not ever seen anything good come from sarcasm.
Right.
What I've seen in communities, and one of the communities I've been a part of in Louisiana, actually, like, they're kind of on the mission of, like, eradicating sarcasm, like, from the community. I already hated sarcasm before I went there, but when I saw that, like, they were on the mission to do that, I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, yes, my people.
Just real quick.
Yeah.
Like, sarcasm, when you look at the breakdown of the etymology, in Greek, it actually means, it's, breaks down to sarx and chasm, which means tearing of flesh.
To rip the flesh from the bone.
Ooh. So yeah, like, sarcasm really does.
Literally, at its origin,
yeah,
is not good. And in their case, what they were speaking to is, they were like, okay, here's the thing about sarcasm, is when that is a constant thing in families or constant thing in communities, the problem is it forces you, you are always on guard. Always on guard, because you never know when there's an arrow that's coming at your heart, right? Mm. Whatever words, whatever biting criticism is coming next. And so there's a bracing that starts to happen. And so rather than being vulnerable with each other, rather than being authentic, there's a guardedness that happens. And that is completely contrary to what is necessary for true, good, holy community and a healthy family.
Yeah.
Because a healthy family is meant to be a place where you can be vulnerable. Family is meant to be a learning ground. You know, family in the holy sense, in the holy family, you know, it was a place where you could start to learn your gifts and your callings, and you could start to grow in those. But in our broken and fallen world, it's become a place where we are growing in those, but sometimes it's in a false sense. It's in a sense of actually tearing each other apart, using those gifts against each other, you know. And so the family that's properly oriented to God is a family that is growing in holiness together, is growing in their gifts together, understands what their gifts are, and is able to love each other more completely, more fully because of that.
Yeah.
But honestly, to just answer your question a little more succinctly about what did my parents do to bring me out of that?
Yeah.
They loved me. Like, in it. That's just a simple way of putting it.
That's so hard.
It's all about love.
So hard.
They loved me in it, and in loving me in it, they loved me out of it. Because here's the thing, the person in the family that's acting out the most, that's the person that needs the most love in that moment. And it's so hard because what's our inclination in that? Our inclination is to close off and to turn away from that person,
or
right?
To attack back.
Yeah, go to your room. Like, you know. But the reality is that's the person that needs the most love. They're the ones that are crying out the most. They're the ones that are hurting the most. And if we can shift focus together and use our gifts for good, yeah, you just see so much more freedom, healing, goodness, all of those wonderful things that come to life, and holiness, ultimately.
Yeah.
So something else we're kind of touching on with that is, like, speaking life into situations instead of death, right? So speaking death into a situation, a challenging situation with a child or a challenging situation with a coworker, would be to enter into the brokenness, enter into the false giftedness, into like not speak life, not lead to life, but instead speak to further death, speak to further darkness. That's the temptation that always comes at us. That's the temptation against holiness. And so as you're starting trying to figure out, like, what your gifts are, one of the indicators for figuring out what it is that God has given you is, what is it that brings you life? Like, when you think about it, what is it that brings the most joy in your life? Like, when do you feel the most alive? Those are all indications of a gift and a charism that might be active in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess I was going to ask, like, saying speaking life into those situations, those dark moments with coworkers, family, whatever, what would be an example of speaking life into those situations?
Like, I have one, but I don't know if I should share. Hold on, let me think about a family situation. Do you not have an example? Because I can ask it.
Speaking of life into situation. I have a convoluted of scenarios, but it's like,
share one, it might remind me of something.
Well, one of them was actually kind of mentioning, like, you're being really mean. Like, mm-hmm. you always seem to do this, like, and that hurts a lot. And to be frank and be real and not to fluff it up and just to be direct, like, address it immediately. Okay.
Sorry, you want to keep going? Or?
Okay, you go.
Do you want to ask the question again?
So when you say, how do you speak when you're in, like, these situations, dark, lifeless situations, you know, interactions, how do you speak life into it? You said, you know, speak life into those situations. How do you do that?
Yeah. So like in the case of the troubled child that's like acting out and tearing everyone down, speaking life into that situation would just be to pull that child aside and to say like, okay, what's going on? Like, I'm not sure if you realize it, but like when you say these things, this is how it affects me. This is how it hurts me to hear you say this, you know, and you weren't always like this. It's helping whoever it is that is in that struggle. It's reminding them who they really are and reminding them that they haven't always been like this. One of the things that happened to me is I kind of came into a fullness and awareness of the damage I had caused in my family. There was a lot of unforgiveness. They actually had forgiven me. When I went, and I mean, I did eventually go and ask for forgiveness, especially from the family member that I hurt the most. And they gave me their forgiveness, like, freely. In fact, they kind of blew it off and didn't really take it that seriously, to from what my perspective of it was. But the reality is, even though I had reconciled with them and I had forgiven them, I had not forgiven myself for the times where I had misused that gift. In fact, so much so that it was only like this year that thankfully several friends and my spiritual director reminded me that like the part of my life in which I was living away from the Lord and doing things against his will and hurting people instead of bringing about healing is actually shorter than the rest of my life. But for me, I still felt like that person, that broken, hurting, acting out, rebelling person, for whatever reason, in my heart, I still believe that was the primary Abby. Like, I still believe that was who I was, like that darkness was still there. And the reality is, that's not true. Like, that was a period in my life, but in remembering that I've been faithful and with the Lord longer than I have been away from him, the devil loves to make us think that we're less faithful, actually, than we are. And he loves to keep us in a place of unforgiveness because unforgiveness actually blocks us from being free in the gifts.
So sounds like it's mainly just coming back to the dignity of that person.
Back to the true identity. Yeah. The challenge with the false gifts is that a lot of times people have taken that up as their identity too. Mm. So you are not your gifts. That's another important thing.
Yeah. First and foremost, you are child of God.
And they're not given to you for your own sake. They're given for the sake of the building up the kingdom, for the church, and for the world.
So, gifts. True gifts, false gifts.
You have them.
Yes, you do. And now it's just discerning, figuring out what those are, and seeing what is it that brings you life. Where are you?
Joy.
What brings you joy?
And what makes you come alive?
And then bringing that to prayer and see what the Lord is showing you with that. Dear Lord God, we thank you for these gifts, the many gifts that you bestow upon us, and we ask that you continue to form us. May we continue to be refined to know what your will is and how you want to use these gifts for your greater glory.
And Lord, any false gifts that we may have in our lives, we just ask that you would take those away, just strip them, break them, and rebuild us on the firm foundations of your truth, of who you are and who we are to you. And just help us to walk in holiness. For those of us that are still functioning in the flesh, we just ask that you would lead us to the depths, the fullness of what you have for us in those gifts, and that they would be used for you and you alone. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God.